we say bring them back home. For my brothers and my sisters who've been gone too long, we say bring them back home. And I don't want to have to keep on singing this song, we say bring them back home. For my brothers and my sisters who've been gone too long, we say bring them back home. And I don't want to have to keep on singing this song.
Okay, we have a special IGD cast for you today. We're going to be talking about the September 9th prison strike. Now, we're not going to do a roundup right now of all the actions, as inspiring as they may be across the world, because there's still people on strike, there's still people on hunger strike, and there's still actions being taken by prisoners happening now. And one of the key places that it is happening is in the Central Valley of California, in the small county of Merced. It's one of the most impoverished regions in California. There's about 100 prisoners that are on hunger strike right now. They're calling for a set of demands to be met, and they're also calling specifically for one of the lieutenants, a sheriff, to be fired from the facility. There's also an organizer on the outside, Victoria, who we're going to talk to today, that is hunger striking with them. We really need you to listen to this podcast. We need you to repost it, share it with friends, and let people know what's going on in Merced. After we listen to Victoria, we have two recordings from the Free Alabama Movement prisoners, Melvin and Kinetic. These are two recordings that were recorded for a special demonstration in Oakland in solidarity with the strike that we're going to replay today. So we really hope that you enjoy it. Please, this podcast is important. Please share it with friends. Let people know what's going on inside, because action is still taking place.
And I don't want to have to keep on singing the song. We say bring them back home.
Okay, we're joined here today with Victoria from Lift Free Merced. She's a community organizer, activist, and advocate. And Victoria, you're on hunger strike right now. Why are you on hunger strike?
I'm on hunger strike because I'm desperate for change. And I've been to board meetings. I've tried speaking with our elected officials, our sheriff, our corrections department, and I feel like no one's hearing us from inside and behind the walls and out here in the community.
Okay. So just so everybody knows, how did the connection between the people that are currently incarcerated in the jails that are taking action right now in Merced, how did they come to be part of the mobilization on September 9th? How did that all come together?
I basically saw that there was going to be this large action, and we had discussed it previously, and they had reached back out. You know, I sent the information into the facilities, and they came back out and said, we want to be a part of this. This affects us. It's affecting our families all across the nation. They wanted to be a part of it to bring light, you know, what's going on in our prisons, the working conditions of the prisons, as well as, you know, our local issues.
Okay, and just to be clear, we're talking about two facilities right now that are involved in this, and they're both county jails, and they're both run by the sheriff's department, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so let's just kind of back up and talk about the big picture. What is you said there were some issues in the jails in Merced. What are some of the main things that are causing people to take such action that is, you know, that is causing this response from the authorities, which we'll talk about in a little bit, but kind of paint a picture for us. What does the jails in Merced that these individuals are housed in, what does it look like? What are the main problems, and why are people so angry?
The main issues that they want immediate action to are not having S&Y sensitive yard inmates, you know, protective custody folks, handling food, chemicals, and clothing. Because they're obviously putting things in there that is dangerous and very unsanitary for the general population to consume. So that's a huge issue, and it's a particular security threat group as well. So that's one of the main things. And then we have a problem lieutenant, Lieutenant Moore from the Merced Sheriff's Corrections. He has been very abusive verbally. He has authorized raids where inmates are detainees, because these are pretrial detainees, are being severely injured, officers going in without badges, wearing shooting people on site, even when they're down, people being shot with rubber bullets and bag rounds and pepper rounds and, you know, having flash grenades thrown at them. And, you know, they bring in dogs and, you know, stick them on people. It's just really scary. And this isn't a jail, you know, where people are not yet convicted. So that's another one. As well as, you know, classifications. You know, they pick and choose, on the most part, who they're going to classify as a quote-unquote gang member. And there are many people sitting inside these classification housing that aren't even affiliated, but are now having gang enhancements added to their cases. So they're looking at significant extra amounts of time. So that's something else that they want to be addressed. And they're angry because it's been going on for so long, and many people have been affected, you know, on and off over, you know, their youth, you know what I mean? So
Right.
It's just a lot.
Right, so you're saying, and again, these are county jails, so somebody gets picked up, let's say, you know, on a shoplifting charge or whatever, you know, they had an outstanding warrant, or like you said, maybe they just got, you know, they got picked up and they're not even, quote, guilty or whatever, and then they're stuck in the county jail for a couple days and all this stuff is happening. What are some of the incidents that the police are using such extreme measures? You know, you're talking about they're shooting them with different projectiles and stuff like that. What would drive them to engage in that type of violence with the people that are in the jail?
Well, the last raid of that magnitude took place on June 30th of this year, and the inmates did not have time. They called it a random raid, and it was authorized by Lieutenant Moore. Again, he authorized another one of these types of raids. And, you know, we brought it to the light on July 12th, you know, about a couple weeks later, to the Board of Supervisors. We want to know why these type of raids are taking place, what the purpose is, because from our inside information was that they're using them as some type of free training. And that, to me, seems like significant, cruel, and unusual punishment, because not only are our loved ones being detained in these facilities, like, we don't even know if they're going to be safe, you know, depending on the outcome of the case. We don't know. They might not make it home alive. They might not see their child date, and that's scary.
Wow. Has there been anybody that has passed away in the jail recently? I know in Modesto, a little bit above you, there's a horrible track record of people dying in the jail there. Is there a history of that happening as well in Merced?
Not recently. I mean, the most significant person that was injured was my spouse. His name is Richard Yanez Castillo Jr. He was shot in the head. His hand was shattered in 10 places. His leg was lacerated. He did survive, but all I knew was that he was down when the COs took him out, and I got third party information, and the jail wouldn't give us information. Over 14 hours, myself and my child, a 13-year-old son, we didn't know if she was dead, and that was the most excruciating pain. We do have a significant amount of suicide at the John Madaraca Jail. It's also in Merced County, and we're trying to figure out how these inmates are getting access, or they're being housed alone for some reason, and then they're being found hanging. And it's happening like every month almost. We're having another suicide, and it's really questionable as to why that's happening out there at that facility.
Wow. My heart really goes out to you for that. So you're saying your husband passed away due to an altercation with the guards at the facility?
Oh, no. We didn't know if he was dead.
Oh.
He's alive.
Okay.
He's alive. I'm sorry. He is alive, but we didn't know if he was dead. They would not give us any information. All I wanted was to know if you guys took him to the hospital, is he okay? Can you tell me if he's alive? They would not give me any information. It was awful, and my son and I had to suffer through that. My toddler doesn't understand, but my oldest does. So that was really, really hard. And, you know, his hand is completely damaged. So, it was the first time he's ever had anything broken. But the way that they had shot him in the head, it was, like, so scary.
God, that's, yeah.
We have had people die in the facilities from these type of altercations. We had a 2006 case. Cedric Davis, he died during an altercation in this jail, in Merced County Jail, with correction staff.
Jesus, man. God. And then, so let's talk about, you're saying there's there's incidents of young men found hanging in their cells, you know, apparently committed, or it seems to be that they've committed suicide by hanging themselves with their underwear or something like that.
I'm not sure if sheets or not. The last one was a young woman, and I actually knew her from my teenage years. Her name was Aurora Felix, maiden name Powell, and she was found. And they said that she was in a housing unit alone. And I know that she had, you know, mental health issues. So my question was, how was she able to commit suicide, and why? You know what I mean? And before that, it was another gentleman. They did not release his name, but it's just really, it's scary. You know, there's so many suicides happening out, and it's specifically at the John Matarocca jail. And that's what, to me, is really suspicious. I do have to say suspicious, because I just don't see how they're happening every 6 to 8 weeks. You know, we don't go more than 90 days without somebody committing suicide, and that's weird to me.
Right. And it's interesting you brought up, you were saying that it seems to be that the sheriff's department are basically running drills in the jail as kind of, you said, a free training program. Can you explain a little more why you would think that could possibly be?
Well, we do have people that have worked closely or are currently working within the department that have, you know, mentioned that they felt that the drills were not standard, you know, due to the officers taking their badges off and wearing ski masks. And, you know, they go in without giving the inmates any time to get on the floor. So people are getting shot while they're trying to get down, and people are also continuing to be shot as they're on the ground. And, you know, one CO still had rounds in his gun. They call them bot guns. They shoot various types of projectiles. And a young 18-year-old kid was on the ground, and he was like, oh, his gun's not empty. He just went ahead and shot that kid in his back a few times and injured him. So we brought it to light at the board meeting because of what we got from, you know, the people that are cooperating with us from within that own department to let us know that they feel like this is some type of free training, because they're doing them every 8 to 12 months, and, you know, they have to do training once per year.
And these are live rounds that they're using, or these are, you said, some projectile weapons like beanbags or wooden dowels or something like that?
Yeah, there's rubber rounds, beanbags, and then pepper rounds. Like, those ones are burned as
right.
well when they shoot. And then the flash grenades. And then bringing in a dog, you know, so it's really...
Wow.
It's pretty crazy. It's like something that you in like a large prison raid or something, but it's happening at a jail, and our Mercer County jail facility is not large. It's fairly small.
Now, I know in like other Central Valley places, other jails, like there'll be, you know, kind of not common incidents, but like people will be there for like long time, like, you know, up to 3 years or something. They'll be in like a holding facility. Is that how it is in Merced too, or is it mostly just people that are going to cycle out within like a month or so?
No. There are people that have been in there for significant amounts of time. My own spouse has been in there for almost 3 years, 8 months, finding an evading case, which is really strange because we have homicide cases from 2015 that had already went to trial this year and already been, you know, finished up, and, you know, people have been sentenced. So, yeah, it, some people can just pretty much, I would call it, they just let them rot in there. Sometimes, you know, they hold them for as long as they can, and then the cases get thrown out, dismissed, or whatever, and then they just let the people go. But they hold them for a significant amount of time. They delay the court process, you know, and they're ultimately many times detained in the jail.
Right, whereas most people, if they had money, would bail out, and then they would just, they wouldn't have to deal with that, and their case would probably be dropped. Or if you are able to bail out, it's a lot easier to fight the case. But you're saying in the case of somebody that does not do that, then they're just stuck rotting in jail for sometimes up to a couple years, which is just insane. I mean, we're talking about a county jail for essentially petty crimes.
Yes.
You know, if they are in fact quote guilty.
Yes, sir.
Wow, that's okay. So let's back up a couple months. You were talking about one of these raids. I guess my first question, has this been in the news, this type of stuff? And then you were talking about how you brought this up to the Board of Supervisors. So what's been the response from the powers that be, and has the media picked up on this story at all, or has this kind of just not been reported on at all?
Then they did a report on the portion of what happened with the raid. No one reported. We have Merced County Times, Merced Sun Star. You know, I was questioned by the reporter from the Sun Star in regards to specifics, you know, what happened at the raid, like what injuries sustained and whatnot. And then there was nothing printed in the paper in regards to that. So the most exposure that we did receive was when we went to the Board of Supervisors on July 12th. So, yeah, it's kind of like our voices are being suppressed, so they're not trying to get the word out what's happening here.
Wow. So the Board of Supervisors is essentially silent on the issue. They see nothing wrong with what's going on in the jail, and they're not concerned that individuals keep showing up in, you know, dead in the facility, or the sheriffs continue to injure people in these raids.
No, they have not made an effort to reach out to me. I actually emailed them on September 9th in the afternoon to make sure they had an attachment of the inmate demand letter and why they were choosing to participate in this peaceful protest. And I have not heard back from any member of Board of Supervisor at all whatsoever. And we have 5 people sitting on that board at this time.
Gotcha. Okay, well, let's go up to September 9th, only a couple days ago. Can you talk about the demands that were issued by the prisoners and what happened on that day on September 9th? What exactly did the inmates do? And also, you all had a rally on the outside as well.
Yeah. So, a couple minutes before 10 a.m., well, a few minutes before 10 a.m., we had convened outside of the Merced County Jail, which is also the Sheriff's Department main facility. And the inmates gave their demand letter internally to the COs, and they immediately placed them on administrative lockdown. They're asking, you know, they decided to revoke their First Amendment rights, and they wanted to protest, you know, in solidarity with nationwide, worldwide prison and jail strikes, you know, on September 9th. And also, they wanted to hope to call on Governor Jerry Brown to sign the SB 1143, which will end juvenile solitary confinement, which many of them have been affected by in our jail as well. Some individuals are being housed in solitary confinement as pretrial detainees. You know, so they're basically put that all out there. They were immediately put on lockdown. We had our rally for almost 2 hours outside. We had multiple testimonies. Our son, which was one, he's 13 years old, giving testimony as to how it feels to have his father inside this facility and not know if his father's safe. We just had so much going on. We had Black Berets, we had prayer, we had the Native American, you know, drum. It was just beautiful. It was heart-wrenching. It was so moving and powerful. We had a large turnout from Merced. We had over 30 people.
Yeah.
And for Merced, that's pretty big.
Yeah.
Some people just walking by or going to put commissary money on their family's books came out and joined us, you know, because they were like, wow, somebody cares about what my loved one is going through and what my family is also experiencing. So it was wonderful, you know, to make some new connections and have those individuals also participate in getting their testimony. It was amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's really great you all did that. So they were put on lockdown, and then what happened? What was the further response from the jail administration, the sheriff's department? How did they respond after the inmates were put on lockdown?
Well, that afternoon I sent the email, and I CC'd all board supervisors, our sheriff, our Captain Sullivan, who is the head of sheriff correction, as well as our court. She runs our court, Linda Romero-Soles. So she's over the Merced Superior Court, you know, in regards to what was happening. I didn't receive any responses, but by 5:12, I started receiving phone calls, and other folks started receiving phone calls. So after I sent that email, they lifted the lockdown within 2.5 hours. So that was nice. But the following day, which was Saturday, they went into one block. So Lieutenant Moore alleged that he saw people on video making weapons. And they went in with dogs. They didn't wear ski masks this time, which was good. And no one was shot this time. But some officers were not wearing badges. And they took the inmates out by force. They, you know, they searched and tossed the cells. And then they put them back in their housing unit and gave them back their phone privileges. And today is another incident of them putting them on lockdown. So they have been on lockdown on three separate occasions.
And do you feel that they're just making this up as an excuse, that there's people with weapons in the facility? I mean, do you think that's a ruse, or what is your impression as to these lockdowns, their ultimate goal?
I feel that they're trying to impede and, you know, stop the hunger strike. You know, they're trying to undermine it. They've been sending medical down to the inmate participate in this, offering them protein drinks and food, attempting to weigh them. They're refusing all movement. They're telling them now, all of a sudden now, that they can't refuse yard, they can't refuse court, and they can't refuse medical. So it's still their right if they want to refuse these things, because they're saying it's slowing up the system, but they weren't making any effort to have them go to yard on Monday. So when they said they had to go today, I was like, red flag, and Lieutenant Moore authorized it. It's just there, and then the seeing weapons being made on video, Lieutenant Moore also stated that he saw them making weapons. So I hope that those videos are going to be reviewed at the time that he allegedly saw this taking place, because I don't feel that individual is being honest.
Right. So inmates in the facility are on hunger strike. Did that start on September 9th?
Yes. They stopped consuming food on the evening of the 8th. To make sure that they were prepared for Friday, and they have been keeping strong. Some inmates have been calling with concern, because, you know, they're going through it now. We're a week in, and they're feeling that the COs are, and the staff and the department, are not taking their sacrifice seriously, and that they're not going to see change. And we want to see some type of effort being made.
Right. Do you have a sense of how many individuals inside the facility are on hunger strike?
Well, we have, I think it's a little over, it's close to or over 100. We have dorm 501, dorm 502 at the John Madaraka Jail, and we also have three block Merced County Jail, as well as one block participating in this. One block and three block house between 40 and 50 inmates at any given time, I believe. And the dorms at the Sandy Mesh Jail at the John Madaraka Jail, they house more than that each individually. So I'm thinking it's close, it's over 100. I haven't got the estimate, because the jail won't give me that information for some reason. I just want beds and how much they're filled to capacity, and they're not willing to give me that information.
Right, but you think it's over 100 individuals that are participating in the hunger strike?
Yes.
Wow, that's a lot of people. They're very dedicated. And again, Their demands are based around ending juvenile detention, but then also, what was the other core demands?
They do not want the protective custody inmates handling their food.
Right.
Clothing or chemicals, that was the main one. And then Lieutenant Moore, based on, you know, interactions with him, being very derogatory, disrespectful, abusive, he subjects inmates to multiple body scans. At any given time, he'll just pick and choose. So he's putting them at risk with radiation exposure just because he feels like it. He threatens inmates. He threatens to put inmates in, like, different housing segments, and telling them that they're debriefing, so basically putting them at risk for being injured or killed. He threatens their life. And it's a really scary individual. I don't know how he's still able to have any type of oversight over the inmates that are participating in the hunger strike, that are asking for him to be removed from the detail. So that's like the most significant one, and then the housing. And then there was an inmate that they wanted, they're requesting, his name is Ricardo Herrera, date of birth, 12/22/1982. And he was removed after the raid on June 30th. And he also made claims against the county of Merced, and they were heard at the board meeting on July 12th. And he has been stuck in a one-man cell, and that's considered solitary confinement. And he's been agreeing to attempt to get out and placed back into his normal housing. But they are punishing him, or I believe they're punishing him for making claims against the county of Merced.
Wow. Can you explain to people that aren't really aware of just how jail or prison works, the issue of the inmates that are CC'd up, and why it would be problematic for other inmates to have them handling their food and clothing and chemicals and all that stuff?
Yes, the sensitive meat yard, protective custody inmates, many times they are people that have, you know, they have debriefed or they have chosen to testify for other reasons, or child molesters, you know, rapists. I mean, the list goes on, but these are people that are essentially victims. And many times, you know, in an effort to get revenge on other populations, they will put fecal matter, blood glass, semen in sandwiches, which our inmates have found multiple times. Bugs, I mean, the list goes on to what they have done to the food or the chemicals, or, you know, just in an effort to get some type of revenge. And these participants have, they've exhausted all their grievances in regards to this. So I don't know about you, but I wouldn't want anybody like that putting, I wouldn't want to eat somebody else's feces in my mashed potatoes. It's just not something that I would want to consume. So yeah, it's just really difficult for them to want to continue to live like that inside the facility.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, totally. Let's go back to the lieutenant. What's his story? How long has he been a sheriff, and how long has he worked at the jail there?
I'm not exactly sure, but I know that he is, you know, he's high ranking, obviously, so he has probably been there for a number of years. I was made aware that he was gone from detail for a significant amount of time, and last year I started hearing his name, and you know, we've been having issues since he's come back, specifically at the county jail, mm-hmm. with people, and they have grieved him for everything from threatening their lives to excessive body scans to authorizing raids where people are being injured to, you know, getting an inmate alone with other correction staff and then telling the subordinates to leave so he can have one-on-one time without witnesses, and whatever happens during those times is always going to be his word against the inmate. I feel he's dangerous, and he's creating a hostile and dangerous environment for himself, his fellow brothers, and as well as the inmates. So I don't have his information as far as how long he has been working in the jail, but I know he was gone for a significant amount of time, and he's recently come back as of last year.
Right. And you're on hunger strike right now. How are you holding up? How are you dealing with all this stress?
I'm holding up pretty good. I feel very weak. I have lost almost 15 pounds in just a week, you know, not consuming food. I've been really diligent about it and disciplined, but just knowing that other people all across the world and our nation are suffering in prison, and I'm directly impacted because I have a loved one incarcerated, obviously, but knowing the conditions of the prison, the conditions of ourselves locally and across the world as well, it just eats me up, you know. So the pain that I'm feeling is nothing compared to what folks have been feeling for years, you know, people in solitary confinement, people working themselves like slaves. And as much as I'm hurting, I mean, I have hair falling out. I look awful. I'm just like, you know, I'm in a lot of pain, but the pain in my soul, you know, wanting to make a difference, is this sacrifice? I'm telling myself it's not in vain. It's
sacrifice is not in vain. Everybody that's participating in this is not in vain. And we just got to keep pushing forward because we need to see change. And with great change, you know, and we need to make a great sacrifice.
Yeah, and it's up for all of us on the outside that aren't in Merced also to stand behind you and take action and make sure that the prisoners in Merced, their voice is heard and their demands are met.
Yes, definitely.
Well, is there anything you want to say? Because there's a lot of people that are watching the prison strike unfold, you know, all around the world, you know, and it's going down. We've had people reporting from Greece to Serbia to Spain, you know, to Colombia. You know, a couple political prisoners in Colombia basically smuggled out some photos of themselves with banners supporting the strike. Is there anything you want to say to people in the United States and across the world? How can they support what's going on in Merced? And how can they stand behind you and what's going on? And basically add their voice and put pressure on the jail administration to change these things?
Definitely. So for us, we need help. We need attorneys, assistance. You know, many of us are poor. I know, especially the people incarcerated. I put myself and family, we can never afford an attorney. If there are any attorneys that are willing to come and take a look out here, like the inmates are hoping to do a class action against the facility. We need more support. A lot of people don't know where Merced is. We are Central California. We are a small county, but we account for many of the people that are incarcerated in California, within prisons, all out, you know, within California, and that are shipped off to other places in the U.S. We have no oversight here, so we're looking for as many allies as we can get to come and support us and to spread the word about what's happening here locally, what's taking place, and, you know, to help us figure out the best course of action so we can continue to take this fight and, you know, just keep the system down, you know. We want to see change take place, and we're hoping that people will come to our aid while we're doing this work and just help this movement continue to grow.
Okay, great. Thanks so much, Victoria, and we'll talk more about how people can support, and we'll hopefully get that up on It's Going Down, and also we'll add links to Live Free Merced where people can get a hold of you. And thanks so much for joining us, and stay strong.
Okay, thank you so much. You have a great day.
Okay, once again, that was Victoria from Live Free Merced. We're going to have some information up on the website soon about how you can support the people in Merced. But please, if you can, share this article with people. If you have people around you that are interested in the prison strike or doing work on it, you're part of a group, share this with them. Let them know what's going on. Next up, this is a message from Kinetic Justice from the Free Alabama Movement about the prison strike.
Peace and blessings, all. My name is Kinetic Justice Amon. I'm the co-founder of the Free Alabama Movement, and we are currently engaged in a national work strike across the country of the United States to end prison slavery once and for all. Things are progressing to the point where it's understood there will be no working here, period. And it's basically almost the situation now as, like I said, this is almost like ground zero for incidents and change in the state of Alabama. Right now they're planning to bring the search team here to Holman to work overtime for the next week or two. They say they're doing it because they're short of staff. It's an intimidation tactic to try to undermine the strike, but we're well aware and prepared for that. So we're in good shape here as far as the collective thing, but internally we're working towards building stronger bonds, solidarity between ourselves and different groups. We have to get away from piecemeal struggling and look at the entire picture of all of the struggles that are going on in this country and bring them together up under one umbrella. We definitely appreciate y'all's support and solidarity.
Yeah.
All right, well, you take care, and y'all continue to work. We targeted McDonald's because of its visibility and its market that it targets children. And it's just the irony of that. You target children as your customers, yet you participate in prison slavery and you won't hide these people in the community, but you'll hide them in prison and get the money. It's like they're funding the school to prison pipeline by targeting our children, exploiting them at an early age, and then waiting on them to get to a certification age so they can incarcerate and work them for free. For the corporations and the profiteers, they probably, you know what I'm saying, in all practical purposes become modern-day slave masters over a populace of people who are free and deserve to be treated free with respect and dignity. And every man, every woman is entitled to be compensated for the labor that they produce, especially when they're being exploited and extorted by government and the state under the institution of slavery that this country was founded on, so forth. It would be 2016, and for Whole Foods, FedEx, Victoria's Secret, McDonald's, and all of these corporations and companies that are profiting from the misery and suffering of the downtrodden, I say shame on you. Free Alabama Movement has a mission and a goal to expose you and all other companies and corporations that are profiting from the continuation of slavery in the United States, and it will end this year in 2016. To abolish prisons is not just going to happen tomorrow, not going to just happen overnight. We understand that it's a gradual process, it's a process of steps, but we know it's a continuous process of steps that must be embarked upon. And this right here is a beginning process. And this is just like in any warfare or in any strategy to cut off the money supply, to strangle, to strangle the money supply. If we cut off the money supply of this prison system, then it'll become something more akin to a place for treatment, rehab, rehabilitation, and reentry, rather than just being somewhere where you warehouse and hold people to work them for free, because it won't be so profitable to house them in, because they will not be working for free. They will be refusing to work for free, period. And it will begin to cost the state more money to house so many people.
Okay, next up we have Melvin Ray, also from Free Alabama Movement. This is a recording that was played at a major rally in Oakland, California, September 10th, in support of the prison strike. Hope you enjoy it.
Hey, what's up, Oakland? This is Daniel Hannibal from Free Alabama Movement, also known as Melvin Ray. We're down here organizing in the South. Glad to be a part of this national demonstration. We understand that this is a continuation of struggles that have been going on much longer than Free Alabama Movement has been in existence. So we ain't taking no credit for nothing. We just assuming our responsibility in the struggle. And we're glad that so many people have embraced this nationwide call for a work strike. And we appreciate all the help from all the great people around the country. Down here in Alabama, you know, we've been up against a lot of repression. They've been moving several of us around, solitary confinement, moving us from block to block, all different types of things. You know, they put a few of us on isolation where we're not allowed access to anyone. But, you know, it has not killed the spirit of what we're doing. We always keep this thing in mind that Attica was one prison, and the spirit and the demonstration that took place in Attica prison, it changed the entire country. So we understand that it doesn't have to be in Alabama. It doesn't have to be in Texas. It doesn't have to be in Florida. It can be in any one prison around the country where the demonstration and the spirit is strong enough to carry the rest of the people. This is what we're going to do until we get these issues resolved with the 13th Amendment, prison slavery, mass incarceration as a whole, whatever you want to call it. We're in this fight until the end. The main thing we're going to come out of this fight is that awareness. We want people to understand more about why we're here. What are the dynamics involved? What role does the 13th Amendment play? What role are corporations playing in it? What role are business people playing in it? That's what we're fighting to make sure that the awareness is there. The thing for us is that September 9th is not a commemorative day. It's not a holiday. It's not an anniversary. It's a continuation of what the men who made the sacrifice in Attica, they were fighting for something 45 years ago. And that fight has not been won yet. It has not been complete.
you understand that slavery never ended in this country. Only thing that happened was that the institution changed hands. It went from private owners to public ownership. We became, instead of being property of a private individual, we became state property. But the rest of the dynamics remain the same. The living conditions, the free labor, and everything that goes along with that. And so we want to make sure that we acknowledge that there was a spirit that was captured in Attica prison. And that spirit was a call for resistance against the 13th Amendment. It was a call for resistance against cruel and unusual punishment, inhumane punishment, using people for a monetary gain. And so that's what we're doing. We're just acknowledging what took place, acknowledging that, you know, the fight is not won, that we're now in Attica. There's an Attica everywhere in this country. And so we want the spirit of Attica to be embraced around this country so people can understand that we have to fight for our freedom. It's not going to be given to them. To the people out there who are listening, you know, that support us, we need y'all at the prison. We appreciate people marching in the streets. We appreciate people marching downtown. We appreciate all the things that are going on. But the suffering is taking place in the prison. The souls and the spirits are at these prisons. And when we call for marches and demonstrations, we need people at the prison to help us put pressure on the prison system and to help us, you know, build the spirit up. You know, guys need encouragement sometimes. These walls, they have an impact on people. So when you're organizing and planning, please don't forget to organize and plan demonstrations at these prisons, because we need all the help we can get. On visitation days, we need people out there, distributing pamphlets, giving out information, helping the family members get involved and have a better understanding about what's going on. To the government, the corporations, the politicians, everyone who is involved in exploiting and making money off of mass incarceration, that the end is near. I appreciate all the great people out there that's been working with us, helping us to put this thing into action. People out in the Bay Area, you know, they've been great. They've been sponsoring us. They've been sending us books, material in. They've been connecting us with people, media people, to help us get the message out. Because, as one of our other members say, we are the unheard voices in this country. And so by us taking the initiative to use these cell phones, being someone that's taking the initiative to extend us their platforms and resources, you know, that's what makes it all possible. We take a lot of inspiration from a lot of people around the country, but you know, there's no question about who is leading the spirit of this movement, and it's definitely coming out of California. So we just wanted to acknowledge the brothers, the hunger strikers, the brothers in solitary confinement, showing us that, you know, we can still lead from solitary confinement. You know, I'm in solitary confinement right now. Our co-founder, Kinetic Justice Amon, Brother Robert Kelsey, he's also in solitary confinement. Brother Bati Khalid, James Cousin, he's also in solitary confinement right now. But these walls are not big enough or strong enough to contain our spirit, and it's because people have shown us the examples around the nation.
Okay, that's going to do it for us today. That was a lot of stuff. So we heard from Victoria from Live Free Merced. She has a loved one, her partner, inside a correctional facility, a county jail in Merced. There's a lot of violence going on. People are being found every month. Parent suicides. The guards are basically running training programs, coming in, busting heads, leaving injuries on people. This is a county jail. I mean, basic offenses. People that haven't even been, quote, found guilty yet. This is happening every single day. Over 100 prisoners right now in Merced are on hunger strike right now, and they need our support. Victoria on the outside doing the hard work needs our support. Kinetic and Melvin in the Free Alabama Movement, they need our support. So in the coming weeks, you're going to be seeing us talking more about all the stuff happening on the outside, but we want to remind people that there's still a lot of stuff going on in the inside. There's prisoners all over the country that are still on strike. There's still actions that are happening. People launching hunger strikes. Don't forget about Sadiq Hassan in Ohio, and the Free Ohio Movement is still on hunger strike. There's still all the prisoners in the Dying to Live hunger strike that are taking place in Wisconsin. There's still so much going on. So much support needs to be put towards these prisoners. And speaking of support, if you can help support, it's going down. If you can support this type of activity, keep coming out. Where else are you going to hear about hunger strikes going on in Merced? Anywhere else? You know, in the radical revolutionary media, nowhere else but here on It's Going Down. If you can, please donate to us. go to our website, click itsgoingdown.org/donate, sign up, become a monthly sustainer. Even if it's just $5 a month, $5, $10, $20, $100, $1,000, it all helps. Please give us something if you can. Give us a one-time donation, but what we really want is people every month giving us a donation that helps keep us going, helps us sustain this project, and helps make sure the next time around we're going to be bigger, we're going to be fiercer, we're going to keep going at them, we're going to fucking win. So we want to thank everybody that's lately been donating. We got a couple big people out there, not going to name any names, but people throwing us bitcoins. I don't even know what a bitcoin is, but I know that it helps us out. So we got people making donations, people giving us props. We really thank everybody. We thank everybody that's been giving us shout outs for all the hard work we've been doing the last week with the prison strike. Hey, it's the least we can do, all right? But all we ask is that you help sustain us, help keep us going, and let's keep the action rolling. Until next time. Got to show a nigga time to time, so I figure I'll slow down the rhyme, so they can understand I feel with so much anger and pain. And if I talk, then I'll explode like a fucking grenade, nigga. Fuck calm, time to ring the alarm. Break the niggas out of prison, killing all the guards. Power to the people, giving people the power to put it down in your city. And fuck them hillbillies, nigga, I can't stand up. Motherfucking Bobo, when we start killing these bitches and taking no more. With a gang, and just some 10 checkers in the making. So nigga, continue with the revenge. I say the real shit will stop until this player hating niggas body rock, body rock, body rock. Nigga, the real shit will stop until these motherfucking cops body rock, body rock, body rock. I heard I murdered. Yeah, nigga, we heard about all of the murders over there, that's how I rob.